Warning, this podcast may contain graphic violence, sexual themes, and bad language. If our language offends you, we apologize, but we do not give a fuck. Be mindful of your kids listening.
The Evil Never Dies Podcast.
Listen to them, children of the night. What music they make.
Welcome to my home. Enter freely of your own will and leave some of the happiness you bring.
Count Dracula?
I am Dracula. And I bid you welcome, Mr. Harker, to my house. Come in.
Happy Halloween, my friends. I am Count Karabi, and welcome to the Evil Never Dies podcast. Well, actually, I'm Carl Todd, and tonight we're going to do something that I've been talking about for a while. I'm going to cover my favorite, least favorite, actors, movies, all surrounding the character of Count Dracula. Not just any vampire movies, just movies that actually contain the character of Dracula. A good example, Brides of Dracula, which Brett and I reviewed a few weeks ago, did not contain Dracula, so it don't count. Just because his brides were in it don't mean anything. We got a Bride of Dracula right here. Don't mean nothing. You got to have Dracula in the movie. I have my poster behind me. I have my Bela Lugosi Special Edition Blu-ray, and I have a Christopher Lee right there. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun little trip, I think. We'll see how it goes. I'm going to keep this more PG, so it's going to be kid-friendly. It's also going to be spoiler-friendly. What I want this to be is something that people can listen or watch and find some Dracula movies you may or may not have seen or you may have forgotten about, and just give you my opinion on what's good and what's not so good. So, to start, the first Dracula movie they ever made was called Dracula's Death in 1922, but unfortunately for everybody, that's a lost film. I don't know anything about it, don't know where it went or why it got lost, but it's gone. Then you had Nosferatu in 1922 with Max Schreck, who most people say was the first Dracula movie. I disagree. They actually sort of, stole Bram Stoker's novel and made a movie out of it and didn't have permission. It's Count Orlok. It's not Count Draculia, so we don't count that. We're going to start with 1931's Dracula from Universal Films starring Bela Lugosi. There's my special edition Blu-ray. I don't have it on 4K because I don't see the point in buying 4K movies for black and white. What can we not say about this? Bela Lugosi basically invented the entire genre of a new horror franchise for the next 100 years. Now, granted, the movie was made in 1931, and it's a little slow in places, but everybody needs to see the movie at least once. Lugosi was genius in this. He is what Dracula will always be remembered as for the remainder of time. My Count Karabi character, yeah, he does talk like Bela. I can't help it. That I've sort of swung my accent is not so Hungarian. But definitely on the list, 1931's Universal Dracula is on the list. So
Interesting note, you may or may not have known, they actually filmed a Spanish version of Dracula the same time they filmed the Lugosi version with the same sets, but it had a different cast and a different crew. And I've watched this a couple times, and it's fun to see a different take on the same movie being filmed at the very same time. So a lot of the Blu-rays will contain this version, and it's kind of fun to watch. So at this point, Universal rules. All the Universal monsters are going strong. I've got to have a little bit of water. My throat is burning. So we had Frankenstein and Wolfman and Mummy, but they finally decided to bring Dracula out of the crypts in 1943 with Son of Dracula starring Lon Chaney Jr. I'm not a fan of this movie, and I'm not a fan of Lon Chaney Jr. playing Dracula. He wasn't even trying to be Dracula. He was just walking around like Lon Chaney Jr. in it. He's actually Count Alucard. I don't recommend Son of Dracula. It's just not up to par for me. We'll next see Dracula played by John Carradine in House of Frankenstein and House of Dracula, which combined all the Universal monsters together to fight each other. This started with the Wolfman versus Frankenstein a couple of years before that. Dracula really has no purpose in either one of these movies. He's just there to say he's there. John Carradine is a great actor, but he wasn't a good Dracula. So for Universal films, monster movies, House of Frankenstein and Dracula are good, but they're not good Dracula movies. So we're going to put them not on the list. Lugosi would play Dracula in an Abbott and Costello movie. I wasn't a big fan of Abbott and Costello. I was a Three Stooges fan. I like the Three Stooges. So it was the last time Bela would officially play Dracula. He would play the Count in several other lower budgeted movies. There's one called The Return of the Vampire that came out years later that Lugosi and a few kind of viewed it as a sequel to Dracula. Take it for what you will. It's not a Dracula movie. We're not going to cover it. So 1958 brings us the first real Dracula movie since Lugosi's. And this would be from Warner Brothers and Hammer Films combined, starring Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing, The Horror of Dracula. This is basically, it was called Dracula in Europe, but Universal owns the name Dracula for some reason still in the United States. So they had to put the horror in front of it. Classic movie. Christopher Lee is genius in it. Is he better than Lugosi? Probably, but not as iconic. No. But I'm going to put this on the list as a must-see Dracula movie. And we're going to put Christopher Lee along with Bela as our must. We'll call it our Mount Rushmores of Dracula. Christopher Lee and Lugosi are 1 and 2. 1A and 2A. So while Hammer's ruling supreme at this point, there was a film called right here, The Return of Dracula, that came out. This was a MGA movie. Strange storyline. There's this guy in Europe that he's going to come live with his family in California, but for some reason, Dracula kills the guy and he comes to California instead. It's a fun movie. Return of Dracula. I put it on the list. If you get a chance, check it out. It's pretty cool. So 1966 brings what would be probably my second or favorite Dracula movie of all time. It is from Hammer, and it is Dracula, Prince of Darkness. And we got this really good copy from Scream Factory that came out. It's got a lot of good extras, and it has a 4K scan on Blu-ray. Well done. This movie has never had a good version until then. Controversial movie because Christopher Lee really has very few speaking parts in it. He mainly just broods around with these really wicked red contacts, and it's a very violent movie. Very, very violent for 1966. And I think this movie somehow got rated PG back then. Not rated at all. So, yeah, this was an intense movie. I wish somebody would actually remake Prince of Darkness with modern day stuff, because I love the Hammer films. It's just, you have to watch them with disbelief because the blood is not blood colored, because the British were a bunch of twerps and didn't want to show blood. So it had to be sort of a pinkish color. On the list, though, Dracula, Prince of Darkness. Excuse me, folks. My throat is all dried out. I've been out working in the haunt, and I think the allergies are kicking in. 1966 also saw John Carradine return as Dracula in the movie Billy the Kid versus Dracula. It's as bad as it sounds. I've watched it, and I actually kind of like it, but I don't put it on the list. I would not recommend it. It's as cheesy as it sounds. So in 1968, we get our next Hammer film. We're skipping Brides of Dracula, no Dracula, and it was Dracula Has Risen from the Grave. This movie and the one that came after it, Dracula Has what is that one? I'm losing my films here. There were so many Hammer Draculas came out. It's Taste the Blood of Dracula. I get, as you see right here on the podcast, I get Dracula Has Risen from the Grave and Taste of the Blood of Dracula confused. They're not the best movies, but I think I like Taste the Blood of Dracula a little better than Dracula Has Risen from the Grave. That one's got a little bit of that stupid humor in it. Taste the Blood of Dracula takes it a little bit more serious. That came out in 1970, the same year that another movie came out, which was also starring Christopher Lee, which was just called Count Dracula. This was supposed to be more based on the novel than any movie had been up to this point. So, Jess Franco, that was his name. He was a Spanish director. And this actually was filmed in Spain. And it's not a Hammer film. Christopher Lee actually does more acting in this than he did in any of the Hammer films. The movie's a little slow. It's a little drawn out. It's probably worth a watch just once to see Christopher Lee play in a non-Hammer role. I definitely would say maybe give it a watch, but I'm not going to put it on the list. Not a bad movie. It's fun. Fun to see Christopher Lee. He's got his mustache in it. After that, we have a Hammer film called The Scars of Dracula that came out. That would be the next famous Dracula movie. This one's a little more not as popular because it sort of goes off kilter as far as the storyline. It didn't get good reviews either. It was supposedly going to be a reboot because they didn't think they could get Christopher Lee back, but they did, so they just made it another sequel. But it doesn't really follow too well. Okay, so I got to bring this up because I just got this on Blu-ray from Severn Films. It is Dracula versus Frankenstein. Now, they promoted this movie as being a 1930s Universal film done in color. The problem is they didn't have a very big budget, so it's pretty silly looking. The makeup is pretty bad. The guy who plays Dracula is not good, but actually it's a fun movie. This is the first time it got a proper release on any kind of format. But 1971, I wouldn't put it on the list, but if you might like it. You might like to watch it. It's very cheesy and low budget, but I say cheesy because they take it real serious, but the effects are so bad, it becomes cheesy. So that would be Dracula versus the Frankenstein. So after that, we have the Blackula movies that came out. Not very PC for today. An African prince goes to Transylvania and Dracula decides to turn him into a vampire. So he goes back and he's now Blackula. I don't know. Like I said, it hasn't aged well at all, especially in 2022. I don't think I would recommend watching Blackula's movie or the Blackula Returns or whatever they called it. Scream, Blackula Scream. That's what it was called. So let's skip those. 1972 would bring us Hammer's is Dracula AD 1972. It brings you to the modern day. There's a descendant of Van Helsing, which means that Peter Cushing has now returned to the series. And it's got some good stories in it. There's some occult stuff going on. But overall, there's too many hippies running around in it for me. They definitely tried to make this a modern day Dracula movie, and they succeeded. Modern day 1972. I cannot recommend Dracula AD. I just can't. I would skip it. Skip it and go to right here. This is my guilty pleasure of all Dracula movies. It's the Satanic Rites of Dracula. This movie's got everything. It's got Satanic Rites in it. It's got these motorcycle James Bond characters in it, firing machine guns at each other. It's got plot twist. And it's got Christopher Lee, and it's got Peter Cushing. And this will be the last time that Christopher Lee plays Dracula in a Hammer film. A lot of people don't like this movie. Again, it's a guilty pleasure of mine. Watch it just once. Now, let me give you a little bit of history on this. This movie got lost into the public domain somehow. Warner Brothers actually owned the rights to it, but somehow they lost it. And there were a bunch of pirated copies out on DVD back in the, whenever DVDs came out, the 90s. And we finally got a proper release from Warner Brothers themselves on their Warner Collection, Archive Collection label. So I'm happy. There's also a DVD copy called Dracula and His Vampire Brides, which is the same exact movie, except it's titled differently. But pick up this one. Give it a watch, maybe rent it off of Vudu or Apple, but I like it. It's a modern take on Dracula, and it's not dated like Dracula AD 72. Yeah, that one, not a good fan of. Then we come to the unfortunateness. Blood for Dracula, Andy Warhol's Dracula, it was also called. Brett made me watch this stupid thing a few months ago, and I'm still dogging this movie because it's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Ever. Terrible. Do not watch this movie for any reason. There is no value to this movie. It's the worst Dracula movie ever made. It's the worst movie ever made. But there's a Hammer film, the final Hammer film featuring Dracula, which was called Dracula Meets the Seven Brothers in the United States, Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires everywhere else. It is a Kung Fu Dracula movie. Yeah, it is. I've tried to like this movie. I just can't. Peter Cushing is not in it. Neither is Christopher Lee. It's as bad as it sounds. Some kung fu fighter goes and meets Dracula, and it just, yeah. Hammer was losing it at this point. It was starting to go downhill, as was Dracula as a character. I mean, you got to remember, Leatherface, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was out. You know, a few years later, Michael Myers in Halloween, The Exorcist. Hammer was dying. It was dying a slow death. And so is Dracula at this point. We do have a little bit of a comeback.
Frank Langella.
Frank Langella. I had to get his name. I cannot say this poor man's name. Was in a version of Dracula that came out. Was it Universal? It was a Universal movie. That's why it got to be called Dracula. It makes sense. Frank Langella plays in it, and it's more of the romantic Dracula. You know, he's a real, you know, kind of, well, he's kind of got the hair. Sort of looks like the guy from Brides from Dracula, but I like the whole romantic Dracula. I always thought that sort of fit the character well. So I do like this movie. I do. It's going to be a hard watch for a lot of people. It was more based upon a musical. There's no music in it, but it's different. It's a different type of Dracula. But Frank Langella, whatever the hell his name is, does a really good job in it as Dracula. Different take on it. Donald Pleasance was in the movie as well. So when I put that on the list, I'm going to probably say no. My list, but I wouldn't really recommend it. I don't think a lot of people would find. Excuse me. Now I'm belching up pizza or spaghetti or whatever I ate. We had a movie called Dr. Dracula that came out in 1978. I have it on Blu-ray, and John Carradine's in it again. It's not worth watching. So we want to mention that one, but let's just skip it. After the 1979 Dracula, we sort of enter a dead zone of Draculas. He's no longer popular. He appears in the 1987 Monster Squad. He's in a movie called Waxwork that I love. He's in several Scooby-Doo movies, but we don't get a good Dracula movie for a long time. There was a TV series, or was it a TV movie? It might have been a syndicated series that came out. I want to say it was like in 1990. It wasn't very good. We're not even going to discuss it. I don't even remember it, honestly. But it finally gets us to 1992. There it is. I just got this. This is a 4K steel book. Bram Stoker's Dracula, directed by the great Francis Ford Coppola, who's one of my favorite non-horror movie directors. Stars Gary Oldman. And to me, this is the best version of Dracula ever done. My friends over at the Tragedy of Cinema podcast was reviewing this a few weeks ago, and I would like to give Jimbo and Kyle some credit because that's probably why I made this whole show. There's nothing I can say bad about this movie. People knock on Keanu Reeves for having a bad English accent, which, whatever. Some people want to knock on Winona Ryder. She's beautiful in it. Gary Oldman goes on our Mount Rushmore of Draculas with this movie. I know he plays good, like it was pointed out by Jimbo. He's good in everything he does. He was Lee Harvey Oswald. How can you be Oswald and Dracula and pull it off? He does. This is based more on the whole Vlad the Impaler Dracula. It's pretty darn good. That reminds me, there was another Dracula movie that was sort of the basis of this. It was actually also called Bram Stoker's Dracula. That it came out a few years back. It sort of fell off the radar. Jack Palance, whatever his name is, the guy that says believe it or not, played Dracula in it. And I kind of avoided that movie just because I always thought that guy's acting was silly. But it was actually done by Dan Curtis, who did the Dark Shadow films, sort of a precursor to Bram Stoker's Dracula. So they kind of tie in together a little, not a lot, but definitely on my list. And we're going to put Gary Oldman on the Mount Rushmore. So then it gets a little nitpicky from there. We get a few little low-budget. There's low-budget Dracula movies coming out all the time. There was a Dracula Dead in Love in it from Liam Neeson. We're not even going to talk about that. That's silliness. We're going to jump ahead to this. Dracula 2000. It's called 19th Century Terrifying Chills for the 20th Century. Scream-like thrills, Matrix-like action. Yeah, it was made at the end of the 90s. But it has a really cool storyline and a really good switch on the story of Dracula. I'm putting it on the list. The first time I saw this in the theaters, I wasn't real sure what I was watching. But after I watched it a few times, I really liked this movie. It's modern, but it's relevant. So we're going to put this on the list. It was actually directed by Wes Craven. I actually forgot that. Jerry Ryan's in it from Star Trek fame. The guy who played Dracula, who was that? He ain't even really rememberable. He don't go on the list. So we're going to jump to let's see, where was it? It was 2000. Rudolf Martin, who was a German actor. We actually going to pull out the actual disc on this one because the cover of it's terrible. This was called Dracula, the Dark Prince, and this is based on Vlad the Impaler. It's more of a historical docudrama than it is an actual Count Dracula movie, but it came out in 2000, and it was on Halloween night. It was on the USA Network, and I like this movie. I'm putting it on the list, so I like it so well. Dracula, Dark Prince. Now, there is a version called Dracula, the Dark Prince that had John Voight in it. That's not the one I'm talking about. This one never got a good release. It's on DVD from Artisan, which is now Lionsgate, but these darn people don't want to put it out on Blu-ray. I wish they would, but I'm going to tell you. Hey, what do I got here? We got a text from Brett. Oh, my God. No, Bubba, no. No, no, no. Brett's interfering with the show, so y'all need to send him a message, tell him to quit messing with me. Don't mess with me, man. So, the same actor was actually in Buffy, and anybody who knows me knows I love Buffy. The Buffy the Vampire Slayer was one of my favorite TV shows. But Rudolf Martin played Buffy in... played Dracula. He didn't play Buffy. He played against Buffy in an episode called Dracula versus Buffy, which came out the same year that that movie did. So they sort of tie in together. So if you like Buffy, look up that episode, Dracula versus Buffy. It was actually pretty cool. There was a Dracula musical, which I refused to see. There was a movie called Dracula's Curse that came out on DVD that was bleh. There was a sequel to Dracula 2000 called Dracula 2, The Ascension. It's not any good. We had that stupid Van Helsing movie that had Hugh Jackman. I'm not a fan of it. Dracula sucked in it. So, is there anything left? Yeah, we'll find a couple things. We had Batman versus Dracula. It was an animated series. There was a TV... made for TV movie of Dracula that the BBC made. I don't really remember much about it. Dracula 3D. That was done by Dario Argento. It is so terribly budgeted. It should have been good, but it really wasn't. No, it really wasn't. There was a NBC Dracula series that came out in 2013. It didn't last, and it wasn't very good. Where there was this Dracula, the Dark Prince, not the same as Dracula, whatever the hell. Hotel Dracula. It's good for the kiddos. Can't deny that. 2014 is when we finally get to the next great Dracula movie. Right there. Dracula Untold. And I'd waited for this movie for many, many years to come out, but Universal kept screwing around with it, changing Draculas. I don't know what they were thinking. They waited so long that people forgot it almost. Luke Evans actually plays Dracula in this. And he did a pretty darn good job as a last-minute fill-in. Now, this was supposed to be the relaunch of the whole Universal Monsters, and it should have been. I recommend this movie. It's done with a big budget. It's a good movie. It about tripled its budget, but for whatever reason, Universal put, as they screw up everything anymore, they put the zonk on it, and there was no longer a sequel to this. There was no more Dark Universe. Until that stupid Tom Cruise mummy came out and killed everything. Dracula Untold on the list. It's a good movie. I recommend it. After that, we had the BBC series that came out. It was on Netflix. That was well done in 2020. Good take on Dracula. I would say watch it. Coming up, we got a Renfield movie with Nicolas Cage that comes out next year, and The Last Voyage of the Demeter, which is actually the ship that Dracula was on, the merchant ship that takes him from Transylvania to England. So they're making an entire movie out of this, and that sounds fun to me. It sounds like one of those movies that's probably not going to make a lot of money, but Universal's actually producing it, so you got to watch those guys. Universal cannot get Universal Monsters right in the modern day. I wish they could, but they can't. So, we've covered a lot of grounds here. Do we have a fourth actor that could go on the Mount Rushmore? Rudolph Martin. The guy played a good Dracula. He was good in Buffy, and he was good in the Dark Prince movie. Heck, I'd put him up there. I don't even know what else he's been in, but he plays a darn good Dracula. I would like to have seen him be in some more movies, but he has not been. Maybe one of these days we'll get another good Dracula movie. But that kind of covers this for me. I covered, like I said, a lot of ground in a little quick time. Hopefully I told you about some movies you didn't know about that you might want to watch, and I kind of stingled a few that it's a waste of time. That Jack Palance Dracula movie, you might want to give that a good watch. And Dracula with Christopher Lee, the non-Hammer film, the Jess Franco movie. Those are two underrated movies that I didn't push, but I'm going to mention them one last time. So let's close this and just go over the must watches. 31, Dracula with Lugosi. Horror of Dracula with Christopher Lee, Hammer film, 1966. Prince of Darkness with Christopher Lee. Those three movies all on the list. I don't know. I'm going to still say everybody should watch the Satanic Rites of Dracula. I think it's a fun movie. What else we got in here? The Frank Langella movie? Probably. Definitely Bram Stoker's Dracula. I'm sure everybody's seen. Watch Dracula 2000 and watch Dracula Untold. And what at all costs, find that Dracula, the Dark Prince, or the Prince of Darkness, or whatever it's called. That movie's got like several names. We need to dig into this before we end this episode, because I can't tell you enough how well this movie was done. It was called Dracula, the True Story of Dark Prince, the True Story of Dracula, also known as Dracula, the Dark Prince, and also known as Dark Prince, the Legend of Dracula. Probably the most underrated Dracula movie ever made. And there we go. I don't have much more to cover. Hopefully everybody's having a good Halloween weekend. We'll be tearing down the haunt. Well, at least part of it. Most of it stays up year round. And Count Karabi will be going back to sleep, but the museum will remain. That's all I got for everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed this and didn't find it too long and drawn out. Stay evil, folks, and check us out on social media, Evil Never Dies Podcast. We're on every format. www.countkarabi.com for our haunted house. And you can find me at Carl Todd on Facebook. I have a webpage that I haven't updated in 15 years. So don't go there unless you want to see a bunch of outdated information. Just find me on Facebook. I'm easy to find. Again, thank you for joining the Evil Never Dies podcast. And I'm Carl Todd signing off. Stay evil. We'll see you next week.
This ring is a copy of a similar ring worn by a Central European actor. His name was Bela Lugosi. Now, that's the correct way of pronouncing it. But that was probably a little bit too much for people to take. And so he became immortalized under the name of Bela Lugosi. He made his name, as indeed did I, in the playing of a certain rather strange Transylvanian nobleman. Might interest you to know that Transylvania still exists, and I've been there. And the name of that nobleman, of course, immortalized in one book and known throughout the world now, was quite simply the word Dracula. I wore this ring. I can't remember how many pictures I actually wore it in when I played that part, but I certainly did wear it in some as a tribute to Lugosi. So I wore this ring. The picture that we are referring to, that I'm talking about now, in a more particular sense, is called Dracula, Prince of Darkness, which was the second Dracula picture that I was in. And interestingly enough, there was a gap of something like 7 years between the first one and the second one, because I think the first one was made in 1957 or 8, and the second one certainly was made in 1965. People all over the world who've seen that film have asked me why I didn't speak in it. I didn't say a word throughout the entire film. The answer is very simple. I read the script, and the lines were literally unsayable. They were not Bram Stoker. This was a great fight I used to have over the years with Hammer. I kept on saying, why don't you use Stoker's words, Stoker's dialogue, if you like? No. So somebody used to write up lines like, I am the apocalypse, and beyond belief. So I said, I'm sorry, I'm not saying these lines. You get a terrific laugh, which I'm quite convinced we would have done.